Earplay is made possible by grants from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and the National Endowment for the Arts. A Play for Radio, The Grappling Court, by David Cranes. The world's first original radio play, written back in 1923, was called Danger. And it was the story of men trapped in a mine after an explosion. It was based on a simple but very effective idea. The men in the mine were in total darkness. And for an audience quite new to the idea of drama on radio, it was a perfect introduction, because they, of course, like the characters in the play, could not see. The writer of this week's Earplay presentation, David Cranes, was unaware, probably, of that historical precedent. But he felt his way towards the same idea, darkness. What effect does it have on us? What unconscious tensions and primitive instincts does it release? For some, darkness can mean freedom. For others, it means excitement. For others still, it means fear. For Alan, Bruce, and June, three college students, it means all these things. The scene is the college gymnasium. Overhead, a basketball game is rumbling on. Down here, in the pitch dark of the gymnasium, a simple bit of fun becomes something else. David Cranes, The Grappling Court.
Jarvis, finesse! Anyone who gets caught reaching around is really stupid.
That's it by Burton.
Way to go, Burton, baby! Way to go. Jarvis, geez, you're as dumb as McSheen, if that's possible. McSheen. Oh, McSheen, is my teammate. The yearbooks will say, and we practice our wrestling in this mat room each day. His smile is so simian, and his laughter hebrae. It's my fine brutish friend, Bruce McSheen. Everybody now on the chorus. McSheen, oh Bruce McSheen, your gray matter's bluer than movies I've seen. You syllabicate language like a laughing hyena. Bold, roguish brute, Bruce McSheen. Oh, the coach gives us keys to this wrestling room. And I come sing my songs in this strange unlit gloom. Nice. But I do get away from people like you. Bold, roguish brute, Bruce McSheen. Everybody now on the chorus. Bruce McSheen, oh, Bruce McSheen. Your gray matter's bluer.
The absence of light.
Bruce?
Yeah?
Hey, where are you?
Here.
Where?
Here.
Hey, McSheen, stop this. I don't like this place. I don't know it at all. Where's here? Where are you? Really, if you act weirdo, I'll leave.
How?
How?
Yeah.
By the door.
Oh, terrific. How are you going to find the door?
Oh, that won't be hard. I'm still standing right by it. Oh. Bruce, hey, let's let go of my hand. Hey, McSheen, come on, cut it out.
Okay, find the door now.
McSheen, you creep. You bastard.
Oh, look, calm down. Oh. Come on,
hey,
calm
where
down.
Where am I? Where am I in the room?
Right, in the room.
I hate you.
Calm down.
This is so...
Look. What do you think's going to happen to you? It wasn't going to happen to you with you and me in the room anyway, huh?
Oh, I don't...
I mean, it's just a dark map room.
I know, but...
Well, what do you think? The university keeps junkies down here or something, huh? Old janitors? Psycho?
You're psycho. Well,
how do you think it would be different if the lights were on?
I could see what was here.
Well, I'll tell you what's here. Nothing! It's mats, walls, exercise bars, rings over your head, that's it.
Hey, I might crash into...
Into what?
Oh, I don't know. An exercise bar,
but they're
or something
on the wall.
Well, then, a wall.
Well, three of the four walls are padded.
By Carter.
Aztec
by Seven.
It's the arena.
Right above our heads, yep.
Oh, God, that's spooky.
It's a nice fantasy for you.
What do you mean?
Oh, all those athletic bodies driving right on top of you.
Don't be gross. Do you...
What?
Think we're winning?
I really don't care.
3 second violation. Aztec ball.
What if the coach knew you used your key to bring chunky co-eds down here late at night?
It's not late. I've been down here 3 or 4 a.m. He doesn't care. I just think he'd say, don't get caught. Hey, listen. Are you really chunky?
Sure.
It's not like it's printed in the student directory, for God's sake, so don't treat it as if, I mean, Schuster's so wrapped up in that damn guitar of his, he never says anything about you, so
really?
Yeah, really? Why? What did you think?
I thought men talk.
And, I don't trust the clothes. So, it's nice to know you are. I mean, assuming I can take your word for it.
You can.
Which I have no intention of doing.
By Hawkins.
Hey! Maybe you'd like that, huh?
Time
Maybe you'd really
set.
Get off on that, huh? If Schuster gave us a daily play-by-play?
Maybe just the great moments. Hey, where are you?
To your right.
How do you know where I am?
I can see you.
Oh, yeah? What am I doing?
You're standing. Very rigidly.
Clever. Bruce, were you serious? That, Alan never says things. I mean, he never tells you anything's about me?
Well, sure. He says that you're best when you're being watched.
Oh, forget
well,
it.
That's why you want the lights on, isn't it? I mean, so's you can think I'm watching you, taking notes. Oh, look, if Schuster and I talk, it's about wrestling.
Oh, that would be exciting, to discuss a toehold.
Well, Schuster's an exciting guy. Or he gets into some number about his new guitar, or the song he's working on, or the one he's just done. Oh, hey, Ben. Hey, Ben, McSheen. McSheen, I just done this new song, Ben. Oh, wow, it is out of sight. Schuster thinks he's the second Dylan. You know, I think it's really destroyed him now that Bruce Springsteen's come along.
He's very good.
Yeah?
Yes.
Yeah, well, you may be right.
I am.
Except that I'm here with you now. Well, he's off practicing his guitar somewhere, which is cool. Because he can be the next pop culture hero. For all the good it does him.
That's it by Carter.
Well, I am really chunky.
Terrific.
You don't seem very interested.
Oh, I'm interested.
What are you doing?
Where?
Over there, wherever you are.
I'm taking off my clothes.
We must have scored.
It sounds that way. Yeah.
What was that?
I'm doing push-ups.
No, I meant...
What?
Are you kidding?
No, should I be?
No, I just thought I...
What?
Nothing. You know, I think I'm tired of standing here in the dark.
Move around.
McSheen? Look, when you asked me to come down here, I assumed...
What?
Nothing. Look, I mean, we come into this room and you run right off immediately into the jungle or wherever you are and you dance around and do push-ups and I don't know what. You leave me standing here? I mean, I think that's just a little bit kinky, don't you? I feel like I'm in the middle of a Rousseau painting or something. Don't you think that's strange?
No.
Personal foul on Valdez. Fire.
I think maybe I'll leave.
Find the door.
Bruce?
Yeah?
Does Alan have a key to this room, too?
Sure, we all do.
Well, how come he's never brought
me here? No imagination.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah.
Bruce, I'm getting impatient.
Well, then leave.
Look, what's your version of what I should be doing?
Whatever you want.
McSheen, this is crazy. What are you doing out there anyway? Warming up for me? Oh, you're an animal.
Was that what Eustace said?
That's what I said.
Well, you're right.
You think I can't handle this, don't you?
Oh, can you?
Of course.
Terrific.
Okay, but you don't think I can.
Oh, look, I didn't say anything.
Oh, you have a theory about me, don't you? That I'm very uptight, that I put a big show on outside, but freeze up when I'm not being watched. This is your little experiment.
Look, you're the one who said it, not me.
Okay, Bruce. Okay. Just for your information, I just want you to know that I am taking off my clothes. Just so you won't go reporting back, hey, I took Schuster's chick to the mat room and she freaked out, man. She was ice. She couldn't do anything. She just stood there. She couldn't perform.
Offensive ball. Aztec ball.
You know, Alan's a very sensitive person. He is.
He's a creep.
He keeps a lot of things to himself. God, this feels strange.
What?
I'm dressing like this in a very large, in a very dark space. Don't you think?
I guess I'm used to it.
Ooh.
What's that?
I'm swinging on one of the pairs of exercise rings overhead.
This really feels weird.
No clothes?
No clothes here.
Good. Move around.
What?
Move around. That's what I've been waiting to see if you discover. I didn't want to try to make you do it. I wanted to see if you discover it. That's the whole fantastic thing about this place. That's why I love it. You can come here and you can just move.
I'm starting.
Good. Now, the only thing you've got, you know, in your way is the walls. And three of the four walls are padded, so once you learn where the walls are, it's like practically total freedom.
Oh, God, it really feels strange.
Well, just keep doing it.
Hey, wow, I just had this sort of a flash fantasy inside my head. That I was, like, on the moon.
Walking right.
Hey, Bruce?
Yeah?
What if one of your feet, you know, swinging, hits me in the head? I don't know exactly where you're...
I'll stop.
Hey, wow, the band went wild.
Hey, they're doing marching music, especially for you.
Can you imagine a nude majorette?
In fact, every time. Well, how do you like it, huh?
It
seems what?
Really big.
It is. It's fantastic. It's huge.
Well, do you have all your clothes off?
Except my scarf.
Well, where's that?
Around my neck.
Take it off.
Why?
Because it's not the same. It's not the same if you have anything on.
All right. Crap.
What?
I can't get the knot undone.
Here, I'll help you.
My God, you just appeared from nowhere.
There.
You're quick.
Sometimes.
Bruce.
Yeah?
Do you come down here a lot?
At night?
With girls.
Well, I don't put the move on just anybody.
Oh, no, wait a minute. I didn't...
Sometimes. When I can't sleep. I come down and work out. In the dark. I started to do that about a year ago. In the middle of the night. Then when I go back to my room, I... don't have any trouble.
Who do you think's winning?
You mean you and me?
No, I wasn't. You're off again.
Move.
Bruce, do you and Alan ever wrestle?
Each other.
That's what I meant, yes.
Sometimes.
Who wins?
Oh, boy, is that a sick question. Who would you like to imagine wins, huh? Who do you think wins?
Well, I don't know. You're both very different.
That's true.
Bruce?
Yeah?
Did you just hit something?
What do you mean, hit?
bump into?
No.
Something sounded like metal.
Metal?
Yeah, or something.
Hey, what are you doing now, huh?
I'm parading on tiptoe.
What?
Hey, don't knock it. It's my thing. Parading on tiptoe. It makes me feel like Dame Edith Sitwell. Do you know Dame Edith Sitwell?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. I brought her here once.
Oh, yeah? How was she?
Well, this is Edith Sitwell, the go-go dancer we're talking about, right? The go-go dancer and cocktail waitress from the Birdcage Lounge.
I was referring to Dame Edith Sitwell, the poetess.
Oh, that chick. Yeah, well, I asked her here once, but it conflicted with a ballet class. She's a very mannered chick. She gets off on tiptoeing and stuff like that. She's very constricted. She said she had never peaked. Yeah. Yeah, peaked was the word she used, as in reached a...
Yes, all right, I get it.
Hey, June. You can tiptoe anywhere.
Right.
No, I mean it, June. That's why I brought you here. I wanted you to be able to just go crazy. I mean, I wouldn't think you could do that with Schuster. Everything would be too designed, too... I mean, even when you're physical, I bet the both of you are thinking things like, oh, yeah, that was a nice moment, or, well, that one's been better, or if I could just...
Okay, McShee,
no, I mean
enough.
It, June,
stop
you should
it.
Just go crazy.
Bruce!
June, Jesus, listen, June, go crazy, throw yourself around, go berserk. Nobody can see you.
Bruce,
no,
I heard it.
It's upstairs, June, I'm telling
no,
you.
No, here!
That's plumbing,
metal
June,
again.
Plumbing, it's absolutely
not
plumbing. Sometimes you get metal sounds from the plumbing. June, listen. I'm serious. Go crazy. Just go crazy. Throw yourself around, huh? Throw your whole body, everything around. Just go nuts. It's just mats under you. It's mats on the walls. You can totally Rico. Absolutely no way you can get hurt. Okay.
Who wins between you and Alan? I know you think that's a sick question, but I really want to know. If you tell me, then I'll...
You'll what?
Go crazy with you.
I whip his tail.
Do you?
Sure.
Really?
Sure, why not?
Oh, I don't know. Alan's pretty strong.
Why, because he pins you?
I mean the strong will, determined.
I whip his tail, June. I wipe him up. Yeah, we pin each other about the same number of times. All right. Right, he's very sneaky. He's clever. But strong-willed, no. In the important ways, I pulverize him. I break him. He doesn't even touch me. I'm a wild man when I wrestle. I'm a damn wild man. I'm a cannibal. I figure out what my opponent thinks his strength is, and I eat that raw. I'm a savage. I break people. I really do. I destroy them. You wanted to know, huh? Did I tell you the right things? Did you get a little discharge out of that?
Well, I don't know that I had anything specific.
Well, I mean, that doesn't mean that I'm proud of it all. I mean that I want a special citation for demolition or anything. I just wanted...
Yes, I know.
Okay. Okay, June, I know you're sneaking up on me.
I'm over here.
What?
Basket by Carter.
I guess, hey, listen, June. June, look, I'm sorry about the way I came on before. I mean, you know, calling you questions sick and everything. I guess...
I think I found the exact center of the room.
What?
I think I've felt myself to the exact center.
Well, how do you know?
It feels like it.
Oh.
I'm sitting.
Oh, terrific, June.
I'm sitting
Look,
at it.
You're probably right beside one of the walls.
I am not.
Yeah, well, put your hand out then.
What do you mean?
Put your hand out, to the right especially. Go ahead, reach on out, huh?
To my right?
Yeah. That's pretty funny.
Gee, how did you... No, really. I really felt that I found the exact... Okay, McSheen, I don't live here, you know? I mean...
Hey! Not like... Christ, that's weird.
What?
I could have sworn you'd gotten over behind me again.
No.
Well, there's something that's...
I'm still here.
Well, stay there.
What?
Stay there.
Why?
Because I want to do something.
What?
Look, just stay there, huh?
What, McSheen?
Just stay right there. I'll show you.
McSheen!
Shut up! Stay right there. Now, I'm right across from you now by the opposite wall. I'm going to start to run and do a series of four standing front flips. And I'm going to land right in front of you. That's how well I know this space.
What?
What do you mean, what?
What if you miss?
Miss what?
Miscalculate. What if you smash yourself into a wall?
Or into you?
Yes, all right, or into me. Or something.
Well, I won't.
But...
I won't, June.
But what if
Look,
you
shut
do?
Up. I'm coming.
Oh, God. McSheen! McSheen, be careful!
Very clever.
Who?
Oh, come on.
Who do you think it is?
There's your answer.
That's what I was hearing before. Alan!
Okay, Schuster.
Alan,
Schuster, tell me. What's the word for a listening voyeur,
Alan,
huh?
I wasn't...
Schuster, she's here expanding
McSheen,
her...
McSheen, shut up! Alan, I just felt like doing something crazy.
Oh, that's nice talk.
It's true.
Schuster, you're not married to her, you know. You don't own her.
He knows...
Does he? I thought Schuster thought he owned everything.
Bruce, please, don't be...
Don't you, Schuster. You're so cocked, sure.
Alan, really, it was innocent.
It's a lie! You know that. You were really fascinated.
I wasn't trying to...
Schuster, you don't own her. You're not married to her. There's no tag on her. You don't have one claim.
Alan!
Shut up!
I'm sorry!
What do you mean you're sorry? I don't get this. What's this you're sorry? You knew what you were doing. You're not sorry about anything. It was exciting for you. You started to come out of your
shoes.
Look, why do you tell him that you're sorry?
Alan!
Oh, how to hang, Schuster. How to hang.
Oh, yeah, go into your Bruce Springsteen trip, your Bob Dylan derivative, plunkety-plunk soul and tambourine man music.
A wild bad, wild, like Abelard Schuster bad, and, I'm a real special dude. I mean, I got all these really deep and sensitive feelings inside of me, and like, man, they come out in my music. I mean, I'm my music, and my music's me, dig?
Well, did you know... Charles Manson was a musician. Hush, Houston, did you know that? Thought he had it all over the Beatles.
Oh, yeah, man. I mean, I'm on the spiritual journey all the time, man, and, like, it's really painful and funky and filled with all kinds of sexy mystery and social consciousness and I got all these chicks wondering who I really am.
Well, did you know that Charlie Manson was a musician?
Oh, wow, man, wow. I mean, like, chicks, man, chicks everywhere wondering what I'm really like, and they go really ape for, like, that kind of thing.
Oh, wow, man, wow. I mean, I'm going out with Alan Schuster, man, and yeah, I know he's a wrestler, and I know what wrestlers are supposed to be like, but did you know that he plays the guitar? Oh, yeah, really, man, really, and he writes his own music, yeah. Well, I mean, even though he's a wrestler, he's really complex.
Well, did you know that I play the guitar too, Schuster, huh? Did you know that? The classical guitar. Yeah, right. And I take it very seriously. Maybe too seriously. But I don't go around doing this public image bit. Stop it. Screw Schuster. Get out. Take off. I got it.
You don't have...
Shut up.
Alan, really? I'm looking for my clothes. Just as soon as I...
Watch it, Schuster. I mean it. I'm serious. I know this place. I know this place much better than you do. Especially in the dark, so I wouldn't try anything. I thought something was wrong. I thought something wasn't quite right. In the shape of this whole place... In the shape of what the dark is. What's empty. What's not. But with June here, I couldn't quite put my... But now that I know you're here, now that I know it's you, I've got you. I have you. So I... I know this whole place now, Schuster. In the dark. Every shadow of it.
Alan, he does. Don't do anything.
Right, Schuster, right? Did I run straight at you, or didn't I, huh, Schuster? Schuster, leave, I'm telling you. June, you're not going to find your clothes. I hid them.
You what?
I hid them. There's no way.
She, you bastard.
Yeah, except you don't believe that.
Give me my clothes.
Oh, you want to be here more than you don't.
Alan, really, I'll...
June, you know you want to be here. You want to have Schuster and me go at each other. It excites you. The whole dark excites you now, doesn't it?
No.
Yes, excites you.
No.
Thrills you.
That's
yes!
Wrong.
Men, blood, you!
Alan!
Just to leave! I'm telling you, or I'll ruin you. I'll kill you. I hate you, Schuster. You're an arrogant, self-kissing bastard! Pretentious, narcissistic! The only reason you go out with June here is because she's like your own navel! Oh, Alan!
Alan, don't...
Lap it up, Schuster, lap it up. Preen in the mirror this little girl here who hangs on to you for fantasies. Yeah, fantasies. Fantasies of excitement.
McShane!
McShane yourself. The only reason this touches you is because it rides you. It touches you hard. This was a big adventure for you tonight, lady.
It wasn't!
The hell it wasn't! The hell it wasn't! Dame Edith Sitwell! Tiptoeing Dame Edith Sitwell! Moonwalking through your Russo paintings! Hell! It's a friggin' odyssey for you to stand up on your own! Oh, nice try, Schuster. You got about as much feeling for the dark here as Joe Namath does for flower arrangements. Or as your friend Dame Edith here does for poems about homicide. Do you want to know the biggest orgy she could conceive, huh? Tiptoes. Yeah, sitting in the middle of a room. Well, this room is meant for scrambling. This room is meant for going bananas in. Shut up.
Really?
I said shut up!
Really, Alan and I will do...
Alan and you won't just do anything! Alan and you won't just pack off or excuse yourselves or anything! It's more complicated than that now.
Why are you doing
this? I come down here every night. By myself.
I go bananas in here every night.
You're an animal machine.
Alan, don't push him.
He's an animal.
Damn right.
You're right, I'm right.
And you're going to find it out, too.
Oh, am I?
Yeah, damn right.
Oh, you're going to wipe me up,
yeah,
machine.
Right on.
You're going to whip my tail.
For a start.
As advertised.
Right.
According to your little macho game plan brochure presented here in the dark to a little lady who wouldn't know that...
Wait a minute, don't put me down.
Oh, why not? Whatever works, right, Schuster?
Sure, why not?
Yeah, well, I think I'll wipe you up. That's right, for a start, and then I'm going
to... You're a cretin.
Oh, cretin, right. Then I'm going to sit here, you know. You know, after I gone bananas, after I laid you out, I'm going to sit here and I'm going to play your guitar in the dark.
Liar, Junior. 17 matches.
Oh,
one...
Jesus! He keeps track!
17 matches, not
in
one
the light! Place. With everything watched over, all arranged. Judges, referees, counting all the points. Sure, sure. Sure, what do you expect? Another fella like yourself. You know how to handle it.
I'm a better wrestler than
better
you.
Better nothing! Every time you get up, your back's just about to snap. Sure, sure, you get the calls. You get the calls. But I break you. I break you every time. You don't even touch me.
Yeah. We'll see that.
Oh, bastard!
What happened?
What happened, Schuster? Did somebody get a chunk of you in mid-flight, huh?
Alan?
Why are you so concerned about him, June? Why are you so bloody attached? Jesus!
Just kept charging in different directions, didn't you, huh? Came about 2 feet from me one time. That was pretty good. Well, if you knew what the hell you were doing, if you knew the dark and the space the way I do, you would have had me. But the fact is, I didn't have to move one inch. And I really, really enjoyed feeling you go loony right here, right in front of me, flail out.
I didn't go loony.
Sure you did. You just don't like to admit
it. I knew what the hell I was doing.
That's why you were so effective. Go ahead.
I can't find my car.
Oh, that's right. Okay. Take 4 steps forward from where you are by the wall. Turn right. Take about 17 steps straight ahead.
You're afraid of me, McShane.
Oh, wow. That's a terrific strategy, Schuster. Are you a psych major?
This is how he wipes me up, June. He hides. He runs away. He avoids contact. Inside his head, he's the
intercollegiate champion, but his tummy gets a little nervous with the idea that he might actually have to grapple
Jesus,
with...
Jesus, McSheen, hear that?
With the idea that he might actually have to grapple with...
Gonna make it real, huh, McSheen?
Sure, why not? God! Oh, God! Oh, shoot, you bastard!
You gonna rip my tail, McSheen? You gonna take my girl?
What was that?
Just my brute power.
Like hell. It was your guitar pick. That's what it was. It was your damn guitar pick. Oh, Jesus. Oh, you sliced my arm.
You stay away from her, McSheen. And you stay away from me.
Did you?
I ever see you with her again? I ever hear you mocking me or my music again, Ben, you're dead. Understand? McSheen? So don't you mock me. June? McSheen? McSheen, I mean it!
The rings, Alan!
The what?
Alan, are you all right? Alan, did you get him? What'd you do to him? Was he on the rings? It sounded like he was on the...
I didn't think about it. It wasn't something that I'd expected or thought about at all. It was just... It just happened. He was there. He asked me and I responded. On impulse. I had all my work done for tomorrow and I... Hey, don't be... You think he's all right? Hey, did you cut him or anything? Did you hurt him? Is he bleeding? Alan, say something. Please, I mean, just because I... Oh, hey, that's wrong. I mean, you shouldn't try and get back at me just because I... My wrist. Okay. Look. I just need to get these clothes on. If you'll let me, I'll just. Alan. Alan, that is you, right? I mean. Didn't think I'd like it this way. Oh, maybe I didn't know. But I do. It's so... It goes on. It goes, goes on forever, it seems. Just goes on. Hey, where are you?
The Grappling Court by David Cranes. Michael Ferrella played the role of Bruce McSheen, Sharon Werner was June, and Graham Harper, Schuster. After the recording of The Grappling Court, I talked with the director of the play, John Tiedemann from the BBC, who was a guest director with Earplay for a couple of months. I began by asking John what he found attractive in this play.
To me, it was something completely new and fresh. It was set very much within the American scene. It dealt with something in an American manner about a quality that one feels certainly from Europe exists in American life, which is, it exists in all modern life, but perhaps it's accentuated more in America than it is in Europe, where, and in America things perhaps do tend to get accentuated more, which is the relationship of violence to life and violence to sex, that in the course of the play you have two people who become involved in violence within the background of violence and also become sexually involved with each other. And to me the play had a metaphorical quality. It wasn't just about these people in a mat room that happened to be below a court. It was about the undertow of violence in society and the way that violence in society affects the individual, so that the individual can get caught up in a web of violence, as the girl in the play gets caught up. And she behaves in a way that she would not have behaved without this excitement around her. And we have exactly the same sort of thing in England and in football matches. A great deal of violence occurs in football stadiums, and it's becoming an increasing problem. So perhaps it's unfair to say it's essentially American. I mean, obviously it means something to all people now.
It's fairly true to say, though, that for Europeans, America means violence, means overextension.
Well, you know, I wonder if this is really a fact or if it's merely the way it is presented to us. The majority of British viewers see a great deal of American work on television, and nearly all of it is violent. There are all cops and robbers, everyone's being murdered and killed, and, you know, unless it's a murder, it doesn't seem to be there. So we have perhaps a very jaundiced view of American society insofar as what we are fed is not the fact, but art, for want of a better word, the illusion. But it does create an incredibly violent picture of this society, which I think is over-coloured.
Yes, it was striking to me that David Cranes, without knowing it probably, went back for a scene set of his play to the first radio play that was ever done, which was also taking place in the dark, in a coal mine, I believe.
That's right, Richard Hughes.
Interesting.
I mean, that's what's absolutely fascinating about the play. I mean, okay, it's so obvious. Not only does it take place in the dark, but of course now in 1976, We can do something else. We've got nude radio because two of the characters have their clothes off. You know, perhaps people at home think all actors acting in radio have their clothes off. Unlike those days when they knew jolly well that they were dressed in a black tie and dinner jacket.
Well, now, these radio actors that you used in the performance of Grappling Court did something very unusual for radio actors, did they not?
Yes, they did. And it's something that I've never done before. In all the years I've worked in radio, they learnt their scripts. And we did the play very much as one would have done a stage play. There's a lot of movement in the play, which is, of course, marvellous for those listeners who have stereo sets. But by learning the text, which is a very physical play, gave them a kind of freedom with the lines. They didn't precisely say, and actors never do, say even Shakespeare, they don't always precisely say what they've learned. It's different each night. So it gave them great flexibility, and with that flexibility, I think it gave them greater naturalism.
John, it's a difficult question, but what would you regard as the unique attributes of radio drama as opposed to stage or television or film?
I would say that one can explore to a greater extent the imaginative possibilities of the listening individual. And one has to think how one listens. One tends to listen alone, or perhaps two people. It's a very different dimension to receiving things in the theatre. You can penetrate the skull of another human being, and you can make things happen within him. You have, in fact, to inspire your audience of one, to work, to react, to imagine. You have, of course, perhaps to have a high degree of literacy. There is a certain type of writing, certainly, where the value of words is important. One can't use words lightly. One can't use words lazily. Similarly, in acting, one has to act very, very truthfully. The microphone is a great detector of honesty. And you can't get away with things in radio acting. I think that what appeals to the writer is that freedom. That freedom, because there are things, of course, that you can obviously do in radio that you can't do in any other medium. You can present to the audience that aspect of the human skull where the listener is invited to hear a man's thoughts. You can, of course, girdle the earth very quickly. You have enormous mobility in space. You also have that penetration into the mind, which I don't think any other medium can do satisfactorily. I mean, if you take a soliloquy in Shakespeare, to be or not to be, Hamlet isn't actually really saying that to an audience. Hamlet isn't saying it at all. Hamlet is thinking it. Similarly, Macbeth. I mean, these are obvious examples. But radio has that sort of mobility into the skull, and it has that rapid movement of space and time, and it can fire the imagination. I mean, take a work which probably everyone will know, Under Milk Wood. Now, Under Milk Wood has been made into a film, it's been done on the stage, it's been done on television. But in no other medium is it as satisfactory as it is in radio, because the listener shares. It all takes place within the listener. That, I think, is what excites the writer. I mean, it is essentially a writer's medium. It isn't a medium in which actors can show off or directors can show off. I mean, directors never should show off, but they do. I think film actually is essentially a director's medium. But it is essentially a writer's medium. So one has, that ability to encourage a writer. One spends a lot of time with a writer. It is the widest river in the world to cross, from being somebody who writes plays to being a playwright. And a playwright is somebody who has had his play performed. So one gives them, because radio is virtually cheap too, let's not forget that, one gives them the greatest encouragement of all, which is performance. And in Britain, I suppose, we do between 50 and 70 new plays by new, unheard-of writers every year. Now, I mean, not all those plays are that marvellous, but out of them, one, two, three, four, five, perhaps, might be good. And this feeds itself back into, because a playwright I don't like to think of a playwright as just being a playwright for radio. I like to think of a playwright as being a playwright. And one can, in fact, lead the playwright on to write for the theatre, to write for television. And also, of course, it is another outlet. A writer needs outlets. And the more outlets there are for a playwright, the better. I mean, here, because of the economics of the American theatre, in New York, certainly, it is extremely difficult for a playwright to get a play done. Television, which is largely in a commercial situation, is unlikely to put on a creative work by an unknown writer. So what does the writer do? To whom can he turn? Writing is a very, very lonely business. I think nobody is more alone than a writer. And one can, in some measure, answer that loneliness by saying, yes, here we are. We are interested in you. One might even work with a playwright and the play doesn't in fact turn out as one would have hoped, and so that play doesn't work, but there might be another play.
John, in Britain, how many plays does a listener have the opportunity to hear in a given week?
12 straight dramas, certainly, in a week.
And their lengths?
Their lengths vary. There are certain places where the length has to be 30 minutes, or it has to be 55 minutes, or it has to be 90 minutes because of programming. But there are other areas in which a play will take the length that it needs. So that if the play works out at 37 minutes or 16 minutes, or, as has happened with new plays, I recently did a play by certainly a well-known English playwright called David Rudkin that ran for 2¾ hours. That's a long time.
John, is the listening to radio drama in Britain done by a few people?
No.
Small group?
No. Audiences are very large compared to the size of the country. One would get an audience of about 1.5 million listening to an evening play. In the area of more demanding material, I would say the audience would be about 300,000. Now, that might sound small. It's not small related to the audience size in England. A television play would probably have an audience of about 8 million. So an audience of 1.5 million is quite respectable. And an audience of 300,000 for a demanding play is not at all disreputable, particularly when you think in terms of the theatre. 300,000 people would keep a play on in the West End for a year. It's a large audience.
John Tiedemann, from the BBC, who came to America and worked for a couple of months with Earplay, the radio drama production center for public broadcasting.
Earplay is made possible by grants from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and the National Endowment for the Arts. This is NPR, National Public Radio.